WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Man, I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Sexy, I've got the looks that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at instagram.com/mbg1211. And if you're listening to us over at gerwick.net, wildtalkradio.com, or rackradioshow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, not right now, but maybe a little bit later, check out the fine folks at fightbooth.com. They're posting amazing content over there, and you should totally go check it out. But not right now, because, well, we have something super exciting for you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. He's the producer, handyman, co-host, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
YouTube. And, well,
hold on.
We're excited.
We're excited. You can follow the show at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, or at Lynn Toward. You can interact with us there. Come to the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com, or gerwick.net, or rockradioshow.com. Interact in our chat room. And thank you, Whit, for listening to the Tasteful Side Move before the show while you were doing other things. We appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes. You've never listened to the show before. If you're tuning in for the first time, we do something called the Tasteful Side Move, which is, you know, the pre-show before the full show, about, you know, a minute or two before we go live on the air. We sit there and we kind of BS for a minute. Well, Rock checks everything. So if you want to come in and before that interact with us, you're more than welcome to. Or you can interact with us live right now, because we love it when people talk to us. We really do.
You know who talked to us?
I do.
Who talked to us today?
Oh, I don't know. We just had a really casual chat with Shawn Michaels. You know, it's a thing.
It's a thing. It really is a thing.
It's a thing. We got to talk to Shawn Michaels today, y'all.
I'm excited for that, too. I say we don't waste any more people's time. We're talking Battleground and NXT and stuff like that. You all know the drill. But let's get to it.
Yeah, we have a stacked show for you, but, you know, we just stacked it further with a little HBK. So we're not going to waste any more time, because joining us right now to talk about his role in the new movie Pure Country, Pure Heart, WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Super excited to be talking to you today because, well, we got to preview the movie last night, and I have to say I absolutely loved it. It's a great story, and I can't wait for everybody else to see it next week when it comes out. So I have to know, what attracted you to this movie?
Well, you know, I'm from Texas. I'm a cowboy. So honestly, any chance to, again, wear Wranglers and boots and a cowboy hat, I'm in right away. And well, you know, and look, I don't have the most experience. The WWE offered me this opportunity. You know, last year I did my first movie and I just thoroughly enjoyed it, enjoyed the process. Really enjoy just trying to learn something new, especially, at this age of my life and having, the wonderful opportunity to do what I did for a living for so many years and then to be able to do a little more and go a little deeper, certainly in the acting realm. And it was incredibly interesting. And I have to tell you, it was very intimidating to be around on this movie. The first one I was around very talented actors. This one, they're talented. And they're so gifted. Everybody could sing, and I was the only person on that set that could not carry a note. And it was very intimidating.
Oh, no. That's never fun. So was it an exciting prospect for you to be associated with Willie Nelson on this film? Because I know he's in it as well. But you guys sadly did not get together on this.
Yeah, no, I was in there shortly. But no, I was just very flattered to be a part of the Pure Country franchise. And so I just thought it was a wonderful opportunity. And again, to be around, I guess the thing that I enjoyed most is I had so many opportunities and, many of them clearly aren't on camera, but to listen to, those young kids sing was so moving. It was so easy to sort of, I guess, get into character, because there were times they would just be sitting there off to the side singing, and it was breathtaking. It really was. And it was just, honestly, that was the most exciting part about this movie, was to sit there and watch all of these people. I guess because I can't sing, and I just find that to be such a beautiful thing. And when people can do it, I can just sit there and listen to it. And it was really a great deal of fun getting to do just that, and obviously it was great fun getting an opportunity to be in a movie and be a part of the Pure Country franchise.
Absolutely. Now, did they mainly concentrate on songs in the film, or were they kind of improvising as well, or did they kind of use their favorite songs too?
Yeah, well, most of them were songs that were going to be obviously part of the soundtrack, and as you know, the young ladies sang quite a bit in the film, and so it was I guess from their standpoint, it would be going over their lines and whatnot. But I'm just blown away that I guess that people can just sit there and do that and it be so beautiful without and I guess it's called acapella, I guess, but it's just by yourself there and no music, no anything, and it was amazing to sit there and watch that, and it's a beautiful gift when you get to see people that are naturally gifted to do that. It was pretty awe inspiring, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Absolutely. And now that you've done a movie or two, you've got that under your belt. Is there a role that you would like to try, or are you looking to expand and doing more movies, or are you just taking it as it goes? Because I know you're a busy guy lately.
Yeah, well, I honestly am. I'm sort of taking it as they go. I had an opportunity last year also. There's to be a part of a comedy. It's a spoof on the Avengers and Star Wars that I think is supposed to be coming out next year. It's a comedy. It was a great deal of fun to do as well. As those opportunities come, as those doors open, I'm certainly going to walk through them. But I understand that it's a very difficult line of work. It's not as if a lot of people are beating down my door, but I do know that I thoroughly enjoy it. It's something I want to learn how to do. I continue to work on it and try to get better at it. And certainly if the offers are there and my schedule permits, I'm more than happy to do it, because it really is. It's a fascinating experience and really a neat thing to be a part of.
That sounds awesome. I really, really does. And I look forward to seeing you in any more films that you may want to try. And like you said, you mentioned your schedule, and you're on the road right now, aren't you?
I actually am, for the first time in a long time. I've been working some at the WWE Performance Center and with NXT, and I just wanted to, I haven't been out on the road, and I wanted to, we come back and we watch a lot of film and things of that nature, but in my opinion, you can only get so much from film. Sometimes you've got to be there live to see it and to take it all in, I believe, to truly, help these guys out, if that is indeed my job, and I believe that it is. And so I wanted to come on the road and be a part of it, experience it, and sort of just get a feel for the vibe that is NXT. I believe it to be very different from the WWE, or quite honestly, anything else that's out there. The NXT audience, I think, is different. It's exciting, and it's a phenomenal brand. And I just wanted to get out here and see what it was like, to take it on the road. And so we're out here. We're in Milwaukee, tonight and Green Bay tomorrow and then Minneapolis on Saturday. So it's a quick one, which is all I can really do anymore or I have the patience to do. It's going to be exciting and I'm looking forward to, you know, three fun nights with the NXT crew.
So I have to tell you, I got to go to my first NXT show this past year, and it was so different and so much fun. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it because it's a much more intimate experience than, you know, Raw or SmackDown or any of the other larger shows that WWE has. But it's like there's something really special about NXT that I just thoroughly enjoyed. It was just so much fun. So I wanted to impart that on you because I just feel like I should, because it's a lot of fun, and I feel like you have a hand in that, maybe.
Well, I know. I appreciate it. But, no, that is on all the NXT stars, to be perfectly honest. Triple H and Matt Bloom and Sarah Mato and all the people that have put so many, so much time and energy into those individuals. But, to me, it is. It's the NXT superstars. They are a young, hungry group, and I agree with you. It's a different vibe. I believe it's everything that's pure about the wrestling business. Every one of them has a dream, to go to the WWE and to one day headline WrestleMania. But this is an unbelievably fun process with them. And you can feel it, to your point. I mean, when you're out there, you can feel it. It's a very palatable vibe out there and an excitement and an energy that I think is unlike anything else that's out there. And I have to give all the credit to, those NXT stars that are the ones pulling that off, because it is their energy and their hard work that puts all those shows together and makes them as great as they are.
Now, is there anybody that's kind of caught your eye or that you're keeping an eye on the roster right now, whether they're on TV or haven't made it to TV yet?
Yeah, there are a number of them. I guess I do my best to try to keep from, I don't know, naming too many names and stuff like that. One, because you're afraid to leave somebody out or, put undue pressure on someone, but I think there's a great deal down there. A number of guys and young ladies, to be perfectly honest. And that's what I think is so exciting. There is a whole nother generation that is, I think, going to take the wrestling business, into the coming years, and that is exciting to see. It really is. I guess I'm different than a lot of older guys. I think they always wanted to stay the same. Or like it was in their day, and I'm very excited about what the future has for these young men and women of NXT and the future of the WWE.
Do you have like a takeaway that you've picked up so far from working with the younger talent?
I guess honestly the commitment and the closeness. I mean, I think the greatest thing that I enjoy about the PC and NXT is the culture. It is absolutely nothing like the wrestling business that I was in, and I don't think it's anything like what the wrestling business is. Once you get into the business aspect of it, and I think that's what I enjoy most. I think it's they're all close, they're a team, it's a very close knit group, and that's very nice to see. It's wonderful to be a part of, and it's something that obviously someone like me that's sort of coming in from the outside, so to speak, or from a different generation, it's something that I'm very conscious of not wanting to disrupt, and only be a part of if I can add to it, because it is so unbelievably special. I think it's something that needs to be protected for as long as they can. So I'd have to say that, the culture, just the mood and the overall positive, I guess, energy and relationship that everybody has there, the closeness, I think it's phenomenal, because it's very hard to find.
That sounds like the best takeaway you could have, personally. I mean, that sounds like a great environment to work in.
Well, I got to say, it really is. I'm a very fortunate guy. I just turned 52, a couple days ago, and I've yet to work a day in my life. So it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm a blessed man for the life that I've been honored to live.
That's the best life you can have. That really, really is.
Yeah, well, no argument out of me.
Well, Sean, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it. Everyone, remember to check out Pure Country, Pure Heart, available August 1st on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital HD.
Thanks so much.
Once again, a huge thank you to Sean Michaels. Everybody, check out the DVD when it comes out next week. But when we come back, we're going to be talking all things SmackDown and Battleground. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's boots to asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided...
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Addams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Too fast to prepare for this. Tripping in the world could be dangerous. Everybody circling as vultures. Negative, nepotist. Everybody waiting for the fall of man. Everybody praying for the end of times. Everybody hoping they could be the one. I was born to run, I was born for this.
Whip, whip, run me like a racehorse. Pull me like a ripcord. Break me down and build.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Or to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, now you can go check out check out the fine folks over at fightboot.com. They're posting some awesome stuff all the time. So go check it out. Because, you know, well, Shawn Michaels, we aired Shawn Michaels. Did everybody like it? Did everybody enjoy it? We did.
We did. It was awesome. Go check out the movie Pure Country, Pure Heart available on August 1st on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital HD. And maybe, if you're nice, maybe we'll give a copy away.
Maybe.
Maybe. If you got to be nice, though.
Or, you know, win pick 'em.
Or win pick 'em. Either way.
That too. But, you know, being nice goes a long way. Wink, wink, wink. So, anyway, just a couple, really only one true news note that we have to go over before we go into Battleground and SmackDown, because it is worth mentioning, because I don't want to leave it to next week.
And this is presented by Gerwick.net.
Yes, this is Gerwick.net. Excuse me. And that is that Davey Richards announced his departure with GFW. He's made the decision to finally go back to school full time. I shouldn't say finally, but he's made the decision to go back to school full time to become a doctor. And he stated that, well, he's been doing both for a while now, and plus with having a new son, something had to give. And wrestling was it. So Davey has left GFW. It was of his own accord. There is no bad blood. And he's off to go do his thing as a doctor, which I can't fault. I say congratulations to him. Go, Davey, go.
Yeah, this is what he's been planning on doing for a while now. We all kind of sort of knew the writing was on the wall. And yeah, so truth is, I love wrestling, but my goal is to be a doctor. I've managed my time doing both my school, my job as a paramedic, and being a dad, and a wrestler as best as I could for as long as I could, but the demands as I head into the last couple of years of medical school have brought me to a point where I have to choose one or another. So, with GFW's blessing, I have chosen medical school. Thank you to everyone at GFW and its great fans for an awesome journey. I can still take independent bookings on a limited basis for the time. So, hey. We all knew his time was running out. He's mentioned in the past that he had a year or two left in wrestling.
Yes.
And he came back this year because he was hurt, got hurt last year. So it's like, this was the comeback year. Let's finish this out right. And that's what he's doing. So good on him.
And you can't fault him for that. You really can't. So there is no word on Angelina, what her plans are at this point. Right now, she is staying with GFW. Or I really shouldn't say GFW. It's really Impact. Impact, right?
No, it's GFW. GFW is the company. Impact, the TV show.
Okay, all right. Too many names. Anyway, she is staying with GFW right now for the time being. She hasn't announced any plans to leave, but I would say maybe she probably follows suit sooner rather than later when she accomplishes everything she wants to within the company.
I would suppose so, but you can go listen to our interview with Angelina Love right now at rockradioshow.com.
Ding! So that's the news brought to you by Gerwick.net. We have more stories, but we'll get into them next week because it's a lot of little things that we don't really want to get into right now. Plus, some stories need development because drama. So much drama. Oh my God, so much drama.
Yeah,
anyway.
There's a world full of drama. That is the best way to put it. So for now, we'll just move on and...
Delete!
Our way to Battleground, which I wish we could just...
Delete!
Okay, alright. I'm just going to say this. This was not the worst show I've ever seen. It was not the best show I've ever seen.
No, there's been shows that have been worse, and there have been a few interesting shows so far this year. This was up there with those interesting shows, is the best way to put it.
Up really until, I think, like, the last two matches, this was actually a relatively decent show.
The first match on the main show was really good. I think after that point, it started slowly going off a cliff.
Well, when you have the Usos and the New Day setting the bar for the show, and they go out there and wrestle the match of their lives, I mean, that's really kind of hard to top. Because New Day and the Usos had a fantastic match. Which you would expect nothing less from two high caliber teams. But, I mean, just, they went out there and basically stole the show.
They did. Like, they did. It was a match of the night. Let's be frank. It was match of the night.
Let's be real.
There was nothing that came close to it. It was match of the night. But let's before we get into that, pre-show had Aiden English and Ty Dillinger. Byron Saxton became an insider. I was not aware that he was an insider, but he apparently is an insider. He's the mole.
Is he the mole? Is he the one listening to his show and taking them ideas? If so, hi, Byron!
He's the insider.
you know, if you want to come on, we're happy to talk to you. We have more ideas. Most of them involve Bray Wyatt, but we do have ideas.
In a surprising move, Aiden English picked up the win.
That was really, really shocking. Like, I think everybody was expecting Ty Dillinger because it's like, come on, it's Aiden English.
On a pre-show.
On a pre-show. You know, it's like, as much as we love Aiden, he's awesome, he's great, it's a pre-show match. And Ty's kind of more up there than Aiden is, but they gave Aiden the win, so they're trading wins and losses back and forth, which means, hey, we could have a feud.
A pre-show feud.
Which, by the way, I loved the Surratt that was on Aiden's tights. I like it better than the Monet that he was wearing, because it's like, I feel like Starry Night is so overdone. But, you know, the Surratt that he had on his trunks, tights, whatever, was very nice. Very nice. I don't remember the title of the painting. It's a very, very famous painting. I know the artist. I just can never remember the painting because it's some really... It's like the day at the park or something like that. I don't remember that. And this is coming from somebody who took like 4 years of art history. How sad is that? That I can't remember. You know what? We're doing live Googling. Sir, how do you spell Surratt?
Google it.
Because
we all...
Freaking French names!
Anyway, as you do that, we all pick Ty Dillinger, including Aiden Ball in the video game, and we all came up short on that one since Aiden English picked up the win. It was a decent match. It was better than the one from the previous month. Looks like we have a pre-show rivalry going on as English won this month, Ty won last month, so SummerSlam pre-show to break the tie? No pun intended? Have you figured out the painting?
Yes, it's Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte. That is the English name of the painting. I'm not going to say it in French, but that is the English name of the painting. Like I said, it's some really just boring, you always forget the name of the title, but you know exactly which painting it is. It's all the people standing on the island looking out over the river. It's a fantastic example of pointillism. I'm going way the hell too much into this, but you know, if you know which one I'm talking about, it was on his tights. I love the fact that he's putting modern art on his tights. Or not modern art, but art on his tights that appeals to me on many levels. And if you can submit art, Aiden, hit me up, dude. I have art you can put on your tights. You can put Bray Wyatt's face on your ass. It'll be awesome.
What is he, Rick Rude or something?
He could be. Okay. Or is that Mike and Maria Bennett? I'm confused.
No, we go old school. It's Rick Rude. He would stick his opponent's face on his crop.
Aiden could do that.
Anyway.
I almost want him to feud with Luke Harper again just to, you know, have him do that.
Put Luke's face right there.
Right there. The mean face where he's, like, screaming.
And then you just see the beard is just the rest of the pants.
Yeah.
And with a patch of gray somewhere in between.
Yeah. We are awful people.
Main showtime, ready?
Uh-huh.
Usos versus New Day. As we said, this was match of the night. Interesting to know Big E was on the one on the outside, not Xavier Woods. The big spot of the match, one of the big spots, was Kofi Kingston doing the trust fall, getting caught and being powerbombed on the outside. So he was taking out a match, and Xavier Woods had a carry match, and did pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, this was match of the night. This was beautiful. They went out there. They did what they wanted to do. They set the bar really high for the show, and you're sitting there, you're like, okay, all right. You know, they're going out there. They're doing their thing.
They're doing the thing. The one spot I really like. So, we all know Xavier Woods does the diving elbow off the rope. Not the top turnbuckle, but off the rope. He jumps off the rope and does the elbow, where he goes for it and gets super kicked as he landed. I thought that was a really cool spot.
Oh, and I just want to say this because I watched Xavier's channel the other day. Xavier, honey, you need to watch more HGTV. You would not have had to open all those pops if you had just built you some recessed shelves. You could have put them going up the staircase. It would have been fine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Xavier's channel on YouTube. Not right now, but later. The dude had to open like 100-something pops because he didn't have enough room for all of them. So he made a video of him opening all 100-whatever pops, and he's sitting there crying the entire time because he doesn't want to open his figures. But his wife gave him an ultimatum. It's either make room for them or get rid of them, which I kind of respect. But yeah. Xavier, watch more HGTV. You'll learn things. Things you never thought you wanted to know.
Can I continue?
Yes.
So I like how he did that spot, and then that played into the finish, where Kofi did the Trouble in Paradise, and Xavier hit the diving elbow for the win. And this was Xavier Woods' first actual championship win by winning the title.
Yeah, this was really cute, because normally it is Big E and Kofi in the ring, and anytime Xavier gets in the ring, you're like, oh, crap, they're going to lose. Because that's truly what happens when it's Xavier and... one of the other two, but it picked up the win. Xavier got to win the titles. It was really cute and sweet. He was super excited. And this was actually a monumental win for Kofi Kingston as well, because I think he's held now almost all the tag belts of the modern era.
He's held, yeah,
pretty close to all. Trying to remember if they had... I'm trying to remember what... I know it's Raw. I know it's SmackDown.
WWE and World.
WWE and World.
So those are four tag titles. He's held the U.S. title. He's held the Intercontinental title. The only belts he hasn't held are World title.
Get on that, WWE. Get on that.
So, in terms of pick 'em for this matchup, me and you pick New Day. 8-ball video game one with Usos.
Also, points!
You did grab some points in this one.
I grabbed some points in this one. WTR Fantasy. God love it.
What was not to love is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin.
Oh my god. Oh my lord. Oh my lord. My lord. My lord. My lord. So we had match of the night with the Usos and New Day. And they send Shinsuke out next. I was like, alright, great, awesome, Shinsuke. Yeah, go Shinsuke. They send Baron out and you're like, eh, okay, alright, yay Baron. You did a little finger twirl. Oh my god, this match. It's like we're sitting here and we're like, please end it. Please. Please end it. These two do not have good chemistry together. They do not. This is a no. This is just 100% a no.
Before we officially get into the SmackDown third round, which is coming after this, I'm going to mention it now. SmackDown match was better.
SmackDown match was better. I think this was their first. This was obviously their first match together.
No, it wasn't. On TV, yes. But not.
On TV, yes. But not in reality. But, you know, it's like I think they're still in that awkward.
No, it's not. There's nothing awkward about it. It's Baron Corbin's offense is not doesn't match with Shinsuke.
I'm trying to put a spin on this.
There's no need to put a spin on because this is what it should have been. Baron Corbin did the right offense he should have been, but he should have got the crowd more involved. He should have been talking to the crowd, generating that heel heat. But he wasn't generating. He did one time, and it's like, all right, after that, it's like you lose the crowd. Bear hug, bear hug, bear hug, you're not getting the crowd. But if he's going to be this type of heel...
Yeah, he needs to almost take a page out of Kevin Owens' book.
Right, exactly. And it's like, if you're going to try to be Kevin Owens, be Kevin Owens. But it's like, and here's the thing, you have to know that Shinsuke's a pro and they should have known this. You should have seen how the crowd was reacting and you should have called some audibles and not stuck to the game plan and sort of changed the script and really got the crowd into it. And they didn't. And that's... You have this hot opening, and it's like, Shinsuke Nakamura, cool, he's the right guy, he should be the right guy at that point. But it's like, no, that was not. And then the finish, eh. So Corbin had the majority offense, Shinsuke was going for the Kinshasa, Corbin was staying down. Why he didn't pin him, that's something else. So he tried the back suplex thing he does, and then he got low-blowed, and Shinsuke wins, but Baron Corbin, you know, gets cued. He then beats him up after the match with the briefcase and the end of days. It was a flat finish to a flat match. And the finish was good if you had the crowd really hot. Because then you would have got the heat that was needed.
Yeah, but the crowd, which is really surprising for Philly.
Was flat. It was very flat.
Was for really flat. I mean, it was like, did they come? Did they show up? Are they there?
Because they were hot for the first one.
Yeah, and then they were hot for... I think they were hot at the beginning of this, and then by the end of it, they were just like...
Baron got on offense.
They were asleep, because, yeah, Shinsuke didn't get to do anything.
You come for the Shinsuke show, just like the last time with Ziggler. You come for the Shinsuke show, you get the Ziggler show. This time, you got the Corbin show. It should be the other way around. You're coming to see Shinsuke Nakamura be Shinsuke Nakamura, and when you're putting the other guy in control for a majority of the match, you're going to lose them because, let's face it, Shinsuke has a lot of charisma, but his charisma can't carry if he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
He's good with his movements and everything like that, and his facial reactions. But it's like slow, methodical matches, not his thing. He's strong style and hand motion.
Yeah, it's like he beats the crap out of people. That's what he does. That is his thing, and he looks awesome doing it. So it's like, please just let him do that. I mean, they tried. It's almost you get the you star thumbs up try type thing because they did. They really did try, but it's like, again, whoever booked this out, which I don't know who it was, but it's like you put Baron on all offense. It's like, let Shinsuke do his thing. Please let Shinsuke do his thing because Shinsuke doing his thing is amazing.
It's what people want to see.
It's what we want to see. We want to see Shinsuke. We want to see him kick the crap out of people. Please drive through and do the thing.
So I pose this Sunday and I'll pose it to you. So this is his second, I guess, bad pay-per-view outing so far since being on the main roster. When do we stop blaming the opponents? How much does this... When will this eventually fall on Shinsuke for under-delivering on pay-per-view?
I would say if he goes past 4 or 5 matches.
Okay.
Because I would say that's genuinely, then that's a reason for concern. But it's like, again, it's... This was all offense. It's something if Shinsuke was on all offense and he just was out there beating the ever-living crap out of Corbin and he had a really bad showing, then it's like, yeah, that's 100% on him. But it's like, he didn't really get a lot of offense in. He was doing a lot of selling and he was on defense. And Shinsuke is good on defense, but he's not great on defense. He's mainly more offense.
But I'll counter that with his matches with Bobby Roode.
I know.
It's just, at some point, some of the blame will eventually have to fall on Shinsuke if it continues down the road.
Yeah, and I mean, there is blame on Shinsuke now. I don't know what it is exactly, but, you know, it's like, the two should be professional enough that they should be able to carry themselves to a good match. This is not the best, this was not the worst, but it wasn't necessarily good. It was very slow, it was very painful at times. I think Shinsuke almost works best with someone who works similar to him, or someone like Bobby Roode. Like, Baron, God love him, he tries. He tries so hard. He gets that gold star every time, but it's just like, he doesn't mesh well with people. Sometimes. I'm trying to think of who Baron's meshed well with. And I honestly can't think of anybody. Like, I'm sitting here trying to even think of who Baron's had a good match with, and it's like...
Baron had a pretty decent one with AJ.
Baron AJ was different, or decent, but to me it's like, I feel like Baron should just be out there beating the crap out of people.
Because, let's go back to the Baron Corbin history. What got him over?
Beating the crap out of people.
In how many seconds?
Like 6.
And then once he started going past the minute, what happened?
People lost interest.
So we move on to the women's match.
No, I just want to say, but it's like, you know, if Shinsuke and Baron had done a more physical match, I think it would have been better. It's like, again, it's that problem of you really are expecting like a kind of almost a fight between the two and a wrestling match breaks out. And you're like, what?
For as charismatic as Shinsuke is, he has the style where he should be leading as a heel and not wrestling as the underdog babyface.
See, I think they just don't know what to do with Shinsuke. I just really think, I mean, there is blame there, but honestly, I think a lot of this is more falling on the way that they're booking him, just because I don't think they know what to do with it. Like, they know they have, you know, again, it's almost the Bray Wyatt syndrome, right? They know they have something. They know it's popular.
But
they know it's over.
But how do they translate it?
How do they find him that opponent where it's like, oh, hey, this is the guy that's going to cause them both to break out? Because it's like, what kind of... It's like, Shinsuke Nakamura came in as an established star from Japan. He had a level of notoriety in the United States, but nobody really... I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people didn't necessarily know who he was. Like, the more casual wrestling fan who doesn't necessarily watch New Japan doesn't know who Shinsuke Nakamura is. Or any of the under indies, they don't know who Shinsuke Nakamura is. So what did they do? They put Shinsuke and Balor together. Those two tore it up.
But that's over a year ago.
And I think it's like you need to have... I know they're saving it. They're probably saving it for either Survivor Series or for Mania or Rumble. But you need to do Shinsuke and AJ. You need to have somebody in there with Shinsuke that works a similar... or more complimentary style, because Baron Corbin is not it.
8-ball pick Baron Corbin, so there you go. Up next, it was the women's Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match. Natalya, Becky, Charlotte, Lana, and Tamina. Thoughts?
I literally turned around for 2 seconds and 3 people got eliminated. I am not even kidding. It's like all 5 of them were in the ring. I turned around to like do something in the kitchen really quickly. I think I actually got up to go get something to drink and come back. And by the time I got up, came back and sat back down and looked at the TV, it was down to Charlotte and Natty. I was like, what the crap? Where did everybody go? Like, it started out really hot, and then there were those 3 eliminations, like, kind of almost in succession. Mm-hmm. At least to me, that's what it felt like. And then you get down to Charlotte and Natty.
For 2 minutes. And that's my biggest problem with this match.
They did not get time.
They did not give Natty and Charlotte more than 2 minutes. Of time. If you gave them like 10 more minutes after the first 5-7 minutes of the match, it would be good. Either Lana really has no business in the ring, or she's a really damn good actress pretending to not know anything she's doing in the ring. I don't know which is which.
I think it's like 50-50. It's kind of work. It's like, I just don't think Lana has the experience to know what to do. Like, she's been trained. She knows how to wrestle. She knows how to take a bump. But it's like having that ring awareness and experience. I don't think necessarily it's quite there. And that's just from a lack of matches. I don't necessarily like how they keep putting Lana down.
You're being disrespectful to the talent who's actually out there trying.
Well, it's not even being disrespectful.
No, they are. They're putting her down. It's being disrespectful to her.
But it's not even about that. It's like, yes, they are being disrespectful, but it's like, okay, all right. Again, it doesn't make sense to me because it's, you put all this time and you put all this effort into her, right? Like, you let her go down to NXT and train. She's trained down at the Performance Center for like a year. You go through the expense, and they went through some money to shoot those promos with her, to build her up, to, you know, create that whole debut for her, do the whole gimmick, and they're crushing her.
Whatever aura she had, it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, she came in and the character was hot and people were excited for it, and it was like, okay, all right, Lana's gone down, Lana's done some work, all right, let's see what she can do. She gets in the ring with Naomi, she has a decent match with Naomi, it wasn't getting her right home out, it was a match, she made it through, but it's like, you can see what's there, what you're working with, she can hit a couple moves, so it's like, okay, all right, fair. And then it's like, they took her into those two or three rematches with Naomi, and they just absolutely just, like, squash her completely, and they're continuing to do so. It's like, I had a problem with actually Naomi disparaging her on commentary. I'm like, come on, Naomi, you're better than that. Because I think the biggest thing that bothers me is, well, she doesn't deserve this.
Says who?
She went down and trained.
Exactly. Says who says she doesn't deserve it? She's been on the main roster 5 years, right? 4 or 5 years? She's transitioned from being a manager valet to a wrestler. Put in her time. She's gone up and down the road more than a lot of people. She's done the loops. She's wrestled, and she's managed. She's gotten more heat than a lot of people in the locker room wish they could have gotten for a long, long time. She deserves everything. She deserves the opportunity to succeed.
She deserves a chance. And I feel like they put her out there and they were like, okay, all right, well, it's not really taking, so we're going to cut it off. And now she's doing something really weird with Tamina, where it's like they're having Tamina protect her, but not. Like, I don't know what's going on with Lana. I'm kind of hoping they reveal it. Like, I don't know if it's, oh, okay, you know, well, we really don't want you to be a wrestler. We really want you to be a valet. So we're going to, like, basically make you see that you should actually be a valet by doing all this stuff to you. That's what it feels like.
By the way, she's a very attractive woman. The outfits don't do anything for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the swimsuits. I will say that. I don't really... And she had better gear. Like, she was showing off all her gear that she had made. I don't like the swimsuit. She has better gear than that.
But this is the look they want to give her here. Like, when she was down NXT, she had other gear. It's like, it was better than this. She's a very attractive woman. And you stick her in a swimsuit, it's like, ew. She's supposed to be the hot chick, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not doing anything for anyone. Unless she's very insecure about her body, which she shouldn't be.
Which she isn't.
So it's like, I don't know. That's fashion critiques here on the rack.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I just don't know what's going on with Lana. It's like, I know she's getting a lot of really unnecessary hatred, which I'm not trying to sit here and scream, you know, leave Lana alone or whatever. No, it's like, it's just, you sit there and you look at her and it's like, when people are like, oh, well, she doesn't deserve to be there. Why doesn't she deserve to be there? I don't understand that. She went and trained like everybody else. She's traveled like everybody else. She may not have paid her dues in the most traditional ways, but she's earned her place.
You all liked her 4 months ago.
It's like everybody has to, you know, it's like she's transitioning, so everybody has to start somewhere, right? Lana did not get the benefit of going on NXT TV. Maybe that would have helped her.
But she was too big of a star at that point.
Although I still say they could have put her in the women's division down there, and that would have at least helped the women's division a little bit, just some. But that's just me. But it's like, yeah, it's like, I don't know what they did with Lana, but I think my biggest problem with this match, kind of getting away from all that, is they just didn't get the time. It felt like a blow off a little bit. Like, okay, well, you know, we don't have anything for the girls, so we're just gonna have all six of them out there at once. We're gonna do the 5-way. We're gonna have Naomi on commentary and yada, 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 and there we go. And you get down to Natty and Charlotte, and it's Natty and Charlotte. They can burn it down if they want to.
Two minutes.
They really didn't get an opportunity to.
2 minutes. That's it. 2 minutes. Went to the finish. 4 finishes in 5 minutes. Natty's going to SummerSlam.
Which?
It's fine,
but I don't want Natty.
I don't expect Natty to win the belt. But it's fine, because I get this feeling, and I mentioned this Sunday, where it's sort of like, here's her final push to the top. You're giving her a big, big spot for all the hard work she's done. You're a main event. You're in the women's title match at SummerSlam. Have at it.
Go for it, then conquer.
And I think it's fine.
I think it's fine. You know, this is obviously one of Natty's last runs.
Because if this is the opportunity to make Naomi as a strong babyface champion going forward, Natty's the perfect person to elevate her and put her on the map and supplant her right there where she needs to be.
Yep.
So, when it came to predictions for this matchup, Charlotte and Charlotte main Lindsay, Lana for the 8-ball, and Becky for the video game.
We all got that wrong.
Yeah. I'm looking at the sheet. No one picked Natty. Sorry, Natty.
But wait,
you can go to RackRadioShow.com and listen to all the interviews we've done with Natty. Name dropped right there. Anyway, up next, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. Oh, God, this one. Depending on who you listen to or who you read, this is an interesting finish.
The match itself was good.
It was okay. It wasn't great. You expected more out of the two. Once they started working over the arm and whatever, it got better. But early on, it wasn't anything special. But it became the most controversial match of the night.
Yeah, it kind of did.
All right, so we had a ref bump when AJ got tossed into the ref by Kevin. Calf crusher. While the ref was in, we all figured Kevin would tap out. So did Jerry Lawler, but Kevin didn't do it. Reversed into crossface, reversed into by Kevin, reversed by AJ into the crossface. And then there's a roll-up for a 1-2-3. Kevin Owens is the new United States champion. We'll get to SmackDown here in a bit. So,
it wasn't even really a roll-up. It was more, from what I remember, is like AJ was... They were both down. They were both on their back. But it was like Kevin's shoulder was on top of AJ's shoulder. And... Because I don't even think Kevin had the legs.
I don't even remember. So...
From what I remember, it's like they did... I forget what they hit. They went for the finish.
It was like a back suplex, maybe?
Yeah, it was something really random. And they hit it, and then they both fell down. And it's like AJ's laying there, and he's on his back. And then Kevin's kind of like partially on top of him.
And this referee is so dazed and confused and finally gets up and makes the count. 1-2-3.
3-star sell job by the ref, by the way.
Yeah.
Fantastic acting. Get that man a slammy. It was really random. And then it's like, you know, 1-2-3. And we're all sitting here, and we're going... What?
Now, the biggest internet question is, was that the finish?
I'm guessing not.
So, there's two stories making the round. One, that it wasn't the finish because AJ Styles was meant to keep the belt on Sunday. Betting odds were in his favor of him keeping the belt. AJ Styles is, what, a 20-year pro at this point?
Mm-hmm.
You would figure he knew would know how to kick out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the question. Was that, did he forget, or was that the finish? There's been another part of the story that came out where it's like...
They called an audible?
They called an audible at mid-match and put Kevin over.
I can almost see the audible more than I can see AJ forgetting to kick out. Just because it was such a really random moment between Kevin and AJ. And you're just sitting here and you're going, what? What? That doesn't make any sense. What? What just happened? Because, I mean, it literally was. It was like they were both laying there, and Kevin's on top of AJ, and it was just some really random move. Like, it wasn't even a finisher. And they're both just laying there. And the ref counts 1-2-3, and Kevin Owens is the U.S. champion again. And you're just kind of going, did somebody forget to kick out? Because for WWE, the refs count at 3, no matter what. Like, there's no 1-2-2.5, you stop, because that's not the finish. No, it's like, it's 1-2-3. Regardless. So if you forget to kick out, or you can't get out in time, hey, guess what? You just lost. Because the refs have been told that's what you gotta do.
You count as if it's real.
You count out as if it's real. So it's, you know, it's like, I don't know if AJ forgot to get his shoulder up. I don't know if they called the audible. Like I said, I think the audible makes more sense. Where they were looking at the betting odds, and they were probably like, okay, all right, everybody's expecting AJ to retain. Let's screw with people. That's kind of what I'm feeling this is. Unless AJ just got, like, smacked in the face and he forgot.
Well, he was, from what I read and everything like that, after the match, he was throwing a hissy fit.
I would say they called the audible then. Like, mid-match, they called the audible. Because, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where everybody was like, huh? I mean, we're not going to complain, but it's, huh? Because then on Tuesday, you had AJ get the title right back.
Which we'll get into in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of picks, we all when, which one? Oh, we're doing, this, where's the match?
I think we all went with AJ, didn't we?
Yeah, we all went with all with AJ. I was like, I was looking for like an Owens. I couldn't find it. I was like, oh, right. So yeah, we all went with AJ Styles. Now we get to the flag match.
They couldn't have made this any more convoluted if they tried.
I want to play something.
Play it. Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are. When we're driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody else, round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax. You're trying to be cool, you look like a fool to me. Tell me why the hell they gotta make things so complicated. I see the way you're acting like you're somebody else gets me frustrated.
Anyway, we can find a way to make the reference. We will. Or at least I will. Why? Why is this so complicated? Why? Why?
Yeah, because we're sitting here, and they're telling all the rules to the flag match. And as they're doing this, you're looking behind the announcers, and the flags are on their pedestal, podium, platform, whatever the hell it was supposed to be.
They called them stands, platforms, and pedestals multiple times throughout the match.
Yeah, I don't even think the announcers knew what they were supposed to be. But the flags are up there. And you're going, what? Why are they? So wait, do they have to go up and get them and bring them down to the ring? And so as they came out, yeah, they went and got their, grabbed their respective flag, brought it down to the ring, and then Ninja Ring Crew Dude, because I don't know what else to call him, hopped his little butt right up on top of that top turnbuckle, hung off the side of the pole, and put both flags up, and was up and down like you wouldn't believe.
This challenge was for an old-school flag match. Nothing about it was old-school.
No, this is just...
Because old-school was capture the flag. Simple as that.
Yeah, you had to get your opponent's flag, right?
Yeah, that's it, and you're done. Capture the flag, you win. This is Tom Phillips, quote-unquote. You have to put your flag in their respective pedestals to win this hashtag flag match.
Okay.
He said, to win this match, hashtag this... Hashtag. Can't say use the hashtag flag match. No, this is a hashtag flag match. So they brawled. They fought in the ring. Then they made slow runs to the slow walks up the ramp. They brawled. They dropped the flag. He dropped the American flag, Lindsay.
We're gonna have to burn it.
And they just attempted to do things. Hit some decent moves, but it was like, brawling was fine, but it was like, they could have done all the brawling and just captured the flag. You made it so convoluted and complicated, it's like, why? Why? Why did it have to be that like that? Either way, it happened. Two tables were set up. AA threw the off the pedestal, threw the two tables. Cena wins. LOL.
Points!
It was what it was.
I mean, it was fine. Aside from it being really super convoluted, it was fine. It was there. It was nothing to write home about. That's what I'll say about it. I just feel kind of bad for Rusev.
Because you picked Rusev. You jinxed him.
Yep.
The rest of us picked Cena. We were right. You were wrong.
Well, it's like, okay, but Cena's there to put everybody over, right? Nope.
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 Nope. So, fashion files, go.
Okay, all right. One, they were still dressed as Boulder and Scully, everything I could ever want. And two, we were supposed to get the supposed reveal of who's, you know, wrecking their office. Well, we didn't get a reveal, but oh, Jesus hell, we got a hint.
Before we get to the hint, credit to the Ascension for being great actors. Yeah, we did it. We totally did the attack. But the fashion police were like, no, you didn't. You took the tickets. You were at the Eddie Money concert that night. Props to the Ascension. They actually show some personality.
What was better was the acting job when Fandango pulled out the horse head.
That too.
And they were physically disgusted by it. It's hilarious. But yeah, so the Ascension leave and Fandango and Breeze are talking and I forget exactly what they were saying, but it goes into the lights flicker and then the lights go out. And you hear grunting and groaning and, you know, things crashing and the lights come back up, or the lights don't come back up, but Fandango gets hold of a flashlight and turns on the flashlight and there's Breeze laying on the, like, crumpled on the floor, unconscious, and Dango's like, Breeze! 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 Like, he keeps saying his name over and over again, and then the lights go off again and there's more grunting and slamming and everything, and when the lights come back up, Fandango's on the floor, unconscious, and you just, the flashlight's the only light in the room, so it's like this old school horror type thing, and then somebody grabs hold of Fandango and starts to drag him away.
Oh, wait. Okay. That didn't happen. Come on.
That didn't happen. There are a lot of rumors flying around that they're going to put Rowan and Harper back together. It would make 110% sense that they're going to put Rowan and Harper back together because, well, they don't let them do anything else. So you might as well make them a tag team, especially since, you know, you split up American Alpha. So, yeah, because we know it's not the Ascension. We know it's not the Usos. We know it's not New Day.
Could it be Sanity?
It could be Sanity. Authors of Pain.
I'll say this. If it goes towards SummerSlam, then it's not the Wyatt family.
Yeah, it's not the Wyatt family, but it could be Sanity. I don't think it would be Authors of Pain just because they wouldn't take a body, but you never know. So those are the two calls for somebody coming up from NXT. Who are the other teams on SmackDown?
You named them all.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So yeah, they need to rebuild the tag division. So I'm personally really selfishly hoping that Luke went and found Eric, or Eric went and found Luke, and they put the band back together. That's what I'm selfishly hoping for. I don't know if I'm gonna get it, but I'm like crossing my fingers on it because that would make me supremely happy.
So Sami Zayn took on Mike Kanellis. Nothing match. Sami Zayn won.
Much to everybody's shock.
Maria tried to get involved and backfired. We picked Kanellis, Zayn, and 8-Ball. But Zayn got picked by the 8-Ball in video game. Getting through that match, there was nothing to really talk about. Main event, Punjabi Prison, WWE Championship, Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. Go.
Okay, before we go into that, I just want to put out there that Fandango is selling this as he hasn't posted anything in 4 days on his social media.
He's gone. He's kidnapped.
He's gone. He's kidnapped. He's missing. And that was my one disappointment, which we'll get into with SmackDown. I'll talk about that when we get there. But anyway, Fandango's selling it like a champ. Go Fandango. Moving on to the Punjabi prison match.
So what's Cena's catchphrase?
You can't see me?
Could we see anything?
Nope. I mean, God, that thing is impossible to see through. Plus, they added the yellow lighting to it, which made it worse. You could literally hear the cameraman and the production truck cursing a blue streak at this thing because they would do those wide shots of that thing and it just couldn't see a thing.
We saw pictures.
Nothing.
We saw pictures from the building. No one could see anything.
No one could see into it. There was just, it's like there was just too much going on around it that you couldn't see in the ring. It was terrible. It was awful. The stuff inside the actual prison before they got out was okay. I'd like to point out having Jinder Mahal come out by himself, kind of a dead giveaway. The Singh brothers were under the ring.
Oh my God, I'm going to a door. Oh no, it's shut. Crawling to other door. Oh no, we lost time, it's shut. Crawl to a door, it's shut. Fourth one. Oh my God, RKO out of nowhere. Oh my God, oh my God, they're pulling Jinder out. It's the Singh brothers at the perfect time. And Randy's locked in, and then we're climbing, and a lot of climbing, a lot of slow climbing, and Jinder hit a DDT. Just got hit with a DDT. No, it was the RKO, Byron.
I will say it got better when they got outside the first cage and they got into between the two where they were out on the floor. It got better.
Did get better.
But it was very, very slow.
This matchup went 27 minutes.
It really should have gone about 17.
But by the time they got there, it's like, yeah, we're closing the show. It doesn't really matter. So, as always, Randall Orton likes to kill a Singh brother. Killed one here.
Oh my God.
The Singh brother climbed right through the cage and the prison window and just climbed up the cage and they were brawling and then he got punched like four times and he fell off the thing, goes through the announce table onto the monitor.
Yeah, I hope he's okay because that was like a Hell in a Cell level bump that he took and they had not pulled those monitors out of that table. Nope. I mean, that did not feel good. You know that didn't feel good.
Yeah.
But props to him for taking that. I mean, give that man a gold star.
So then Randy's escaping the cage.
I wanted to hurt him at this point. Brock, not Randy.
Why? Why'd you want to hurt me?
Because the entire match, right? The entire match, he's sitting there going, oh, just wait for Great Khali. Great Khali's going to come out. They brought Great Khali in. You know what? When Great Khali, like every 5 minutes, it was Great Khali, Great Khali, Great Khali. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, Great Khali is not going to show up. There's no reason for Great Khali to show up. Proceed.
Randy's climbing. The Great Khali shows up. He climbs up two rungs and is choking out Randy Orton as Jinder escapes. The Great Khali showed up, everybody. The Great Khali showed up. That was a thing.
That was a thing. And your current reigning, defending, and retaining WWE Champion, Jinder Mahal, escapes Randy Orton and the Punjabi prison.
You, 8-Ball, and video game picked Jinder. I picked Randy Orton. 8-Ball, me, and you went 3-5. Video game went 4-4.
Oh, crap. We lost the video game. God damn it. Okay, I'm just going to say this. WWE, if you're listening, Byron, write this down. Please never book that match again. Ever again? That was terrible. Well, I should say terrible. Terrible's a strong word. It was not. Boring. It was not fun to watch. It was not enjoyable to watch.
It was boring, 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 boring.
Like, it gave me a headache halfway through because of how difficult it was to see. I mean, they tried. I have to give props to the people in the match. They tried. They tried really, really, really hard. But they didn't pick up the physicality until they got into the second prison. And the whole them struggling to, you know, get through the door. Oh, I can't get through the door. Dude, just climb. Just climb. Or better yet, just, you know, try to... Randy could probably fit through the hole in that cage.
And old gender could.
Not new gender, but old gender.
This time he was hindered. By size.
By size. But yeah, I mean, it's just, there were a lot of variables in this that you're sitting there looking at it, and there's a lot of, you know, plot holes in this. And you're just looking at it going, just climb. Just jump. Just, you know, do something other than what you're doing because it's clearly not working. I mean, it was like, you're sitting here and it's almost like nails going across a chalkboard. It was just hard. Props to them for taking the bumps and doing everything that they did in the match physically, but the match itself was just like, please never book this again. Please never make us sit through this again. So, or at the very least, if you want to just do a Punjabi prison match, raise, like, don't have the middle part, just have the outside.
That being said...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, on SmackDown Live, we learned a couple of things. Jinder Mahal is now someone you have to fight for. Because next week on SmackDown Live, it will be John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the right to fight Jinder Mahal.
Okay.
John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura should be a main event at WrestleMania. It's happening on SmackDown to fight Jinder.
But they're doing it now, which I'm fine with because it's John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura should have a very, very, very good match. But like we mentioned before, Shinsuke needs a good showing.
And this better be it.
This should be it. I think even they recognize as like, okay, all right, we are not playing to Shinsuke's strength. Shinsuke is the most over person they have on that show. They really should maybe, you know, consider doing something with that, which I think they are.
And the big story coming out of SmackDown this week, the return of Jericho.
Oh my God, he looks like he's been like up 3 miles of bad highway. I mean, or I should say actually 3 months of bad highway. Lord Jesus, son.
He partied hard.
And he looks like he hasn't slept in days.
So Chris Jericho, AJ Styles came out and said he wanted a title shot against Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens said he's not going to grant anyone a title shot tonight. Then he wasn't going to defend against anyone, so including AJ Styles. Then Chris Jericho made a surprise return to WWE, and he won his title shot. So Shane McMahon, fresh off of surviving a helicopter accident with brand new clothing, comes out and basically says, you both get a title shot tonight. And they had a really awesome main event.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It was a fantastic match. They sort of just... They brought the house down. It was like... It should have been on a pay-per-view. This was a pay-per-view main event on SmackDown. And AJ Styles is, once again, the United States champion.
And you can't go wrong with these three. You really can't. And putting them together in the match, that's even better. This is kind of the makeup for the pay-per-view a little bit.
This whole show seemed like it was a lot better show. It was very well paced. It was a home run. But the sequences they had in the matchup, it was just, everything was awesome in this one. And Kevin Owens demanded his rematch next week. So next week it's Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles for the U.S. title and Shinsuke Nakamura versus John Cena next week. Two big matches next week.
Yes, two very big matches next week.
And we didn't get a payoff this week though. For the Fashion Files. It's disappointing.
I was very disappointed with this. For the very simple reason of, okay, whoever attacked them drug Fandango off. Like, walked off with him. You didn't even have Breeze running around looking for Fandango. You didn't even have Breeze concerned about Fandango. Unless they took Breeze and Breeze just isn't selling it. But I doubt that. They purposely showed Fandango being drug off, which means whoever did this has him. It's like the least you could have done is done like a minute long segment backstage with either Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon where Tyler Breeze runs up and goes, Fandango's missing, I don't know what to do, or Fandango's missing and he's in a panic, or he's looking for Fandango. Like, you should have done some kind of follow-up to that. I mean, I know it's not the biggest storyline on the show, but it's like you could have taken a minute or two and devoted it to Breeze and Dango. Just a little bit. Mainly because I really wanted to see it.
One of the main reasons to the show.
Because, like, oh my god, what did they do to Fandango? And then we get no payoff for it. Very upset by this.
That being said, it's time for what? Tweet of the Week?
Tweet of the Week!
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Hold on. Before we get to that, forgot one more thing.
I was a very virile five-year-old.
Oh my god, we forgot about smack talking.
Smacking talk. Or, yeah, smacking talk.
Smacking talk.
Yes.
The renegade version of talking smack.
Where Chad Gable is the thing and Daniel Bryan and Chad Gable were father and son. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that deeper because it was awesome.
Yeah, well, after the tweet of the week.
Well, as we do tweets a week, I got some tweets.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. So, Ringside Collectibles tweeted out, San Diego Comic-Con, Friday, 7/21/17, Elites! And it's a picture of the Elite figures of Asuka, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Dash and Wilder, to which Scott Dawson replies, it's so cool being the Elite. We see what you did there. Very well done. Pete Dunne, someone's job is deciding the layout of hotel rooms, yet there is never a plug socket next to the bed. Who's making these poor decisions? I 100% agree. Sean O'Brien, would you ever like to have, and he's tweeting Jack Gallagher, would you ever like to have a match with Pete Dunne for the UK Championship? Gallagher replies, I would take that match tomorrow if it was offered. My goal is to hold the UK and Cruiserweight titles simultaneously. Pete Dunne replies, come fight me. And he tweets Progress Wrestling. Do it. Do it. Italio Santana tweeted, Dash Wilder with the United States champion AJ Styles at WWE Battleground. It's actually a GIF, and it has a GIF attached to it where it's actually Charlie Caruso with AJ Styles. But for whatever reason, the dude tagged Dash, and Dash replies, I look very pretty today. Jim Smallman, three people run Progress Wrestling, and only these three know all about how it's run. Amazing how many people on Twitter think they're one of the three. Trent Seven replies, hey, Pete and Tyler, finally Jim has publicly announced it for us. Hashtag British strong style. And Tyler replies, how sweet. Michael Sachs tweeted Mike Kanellis and said, y'all was a joke in Impact Wrestling and now you're a joke in the WWE. Funny how things stay the same. And Mike Kanellis replies, except I get paid now.
Shot. By your...
Thomas Lito tweeted Mike Kanellis and said, if you truly love pro wrestling, you wouldn't care about the money. By the way, TNA along with ROH made you a star, so be grateful. Mike replies, you're right. I'll make sure to pay my bill in 5 stars next time. Or in stars in general next time. By the way, I just want to comment that it's like, if you really love something, you wouldn't care about the money. No. No, if you really love something, you do it for the money.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you really love something and you choose to do it as your profession, you shouldn't have to say, oh, well, I love it so much, I'm going to do it for free. No. If you're going to do this, you should get paid for it. Like, if you have that much love for it that you've decided to dedicate your life to it, you should get paid. I'm sorry. You should. And you should care that you're not getting paid or you are getting paid. Just saying. Like that whole, oh, well, you should do it for free because you love it is crap.
Do you have any more tweets in that sequence?
No, I tried not to grab too many because I didn't know what you had.
No, I want to add one more to your sequence right there.
Okay.
It is truly delightful to get your check every week on time without having to chase it down for months.
Matt!
Anyone continue?
That's all I got.
Ringside Collectibles tweeted out a picture of the Neville figure. Don't be fooled by this miniature imitation. There's only one king. BG James, Road Dog. Yeah, you got this thing by 6 inches. Ha 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 ha. Sorry, Your Highness. I couldn't help myself. I prostrate myself and beg forgiveness. Shots. Christian, a flashback Friday. On this day, 2002, at Lance Storm and I won WWE Tag Team titles. Lance was a good lackey. Lance Storm replied, If by lucky you mean did all the work and carried your ass, guilty as charged. Christian, no, I meant carried my bags, drove around a car, and rode my coattails, and yes, you look much bigger you are than me. Still not a clue how to get over. Taking shots at each other. That's what wrestlers do. Jenny Gargano. Oh my god, 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 oh my god. Dreams do come true, kids. That's a picture of his action figure.
Yeah, he got a figure.
Ciampa. Step one. Buy my figure. Step two. Beat up Johnny's figure. Boys. Be cool. Kurt Hawkins, I'm headed to the UFC Long Island. If you see me, please don't hesitate to say hi. I'm actually way less socially awkward than Zack Ryder. And way less over.
Ouch!
Robert Flores, Baron Corbin is not letting go, just like the little hair he has left.
Okay, I just have to say this because I didn't say it on Twitter. I kind of held that back, but they're talking about how Baron's like, oh, I'm not afraid of you, Shinsuke. No, you're not afraid, but your hair is.
WWE Creative Fish, this just turned into a very intense version of Nickelodeon Guts.
Oh my god, it did. It so did. Randy completely underestimated how much he was climbing.
Someone named Hitman Hall tweets Renee Young, you should treat Fight Owens fight with more respect. He is the U.S. champ after all. She is a guest in this country. Beat he represents. Renee Young, him and I are from the same country. Someone named Melissa goes, you guys criticize pro athletes a lot, which is funny considering you probably have zero athletic ability whatsoever. Marshall Harris, CSN. Look, in fifth grade, I was the first semester four square champion. Ate too much over Christmas break and was never the same though. I always loved four square. Anyway, not SportsCenter. Breaking, the Cowboys have successfully gone an entire hour without having anyone arrested. Setting a new team record. Can you tell? We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev, big fight, big dog, big, small guy complex. Taking shots. So Moose is standing up for some dude, telling people to sign this guy. EC3 goes, tweets like this are why I'm going to whip your ass for whatever our mid-card title is called and elevate it beyond our world championship. Ouch. WWE Creative-ish, so many failed walls attempted by Jericho. Maybe change his name to @RealDonaldTrump. So Daniel Bryan puts out this first smacking talk, which was awesome. Featured only on talent. Brie on Twitter goes, don't worry, Gable. I'll be a great stepmom.
Aww. Right. Yes, Daniel Bryan is very excited about being a father of two.
They were, the chemistry him and Gable have is great. It's such a great pairing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black, congratulations to my BFF, Martin Scroll. Here's a throwback of me giving him some love, and that's him doing the coup de grace right into his chest. Marty Scroll, exactly what I wanted for my B-Day. A grown man jumping feet first on my tummy. Aleister Black, XOXO, heart emoji.
Aww.
So the Bella Twins put out a picture of Birdie. I must say, The Rock has competition in the eyebrow game. Show him, Birdie. Rock replied, Birdie's beautiful and way better than my eyebrow could ever hope to be. That, of course, if my eyebrow were capable of motions. They reply, LOL, it makes us feel emotions. So that's all that matters. He goes, haha, hey, I'm all about the emo. I guess emotions. Hope you guys are great. Killing it. Keep killing it. And Brian goes, I was hoping she would do the yes motion first.
Aww.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, have you seen the debut edition of Smack and Talk hosted by Renee Young and Daniel Bryan yet? It's a shocker. Brian goes, after 5,000 plus retweets and 15,000 plus likes, at WWE Fan acknowledged Smack and Talk, then called it bewildering. # Yes Movement Part 2 is coming.
Brian, stop.
Brian Maxwell Mann posted a picture of Shinsuke Nakamura vs. John Cena graphic. Steve Austin vs. Bill Goldberg, winner faces Hardcore Holly at SummerSlam. Chris Danko, when you actually sim ahead 6 years in WWE Universe mode, same picture of Cena versus Shinsuke. Ciampa. Dear NXT Milwaukee, Johnny is sensitive. Hit him where it hurts most. His feelings. Make me proud and boo him out of the hall tonight.
Tommaso.
My name is Tommaso Ciampa, and I'm a certified psycho and a bona fide killer. And this right here, that's him in a picture of Big Cass. Because you can't teach that. Anyway, WWE puts out a new Brock Lesnar Suplex City shirt for the Detroit show this Saturday. Bacon, I bravely took a German suplex for the artwork on this shirt. It's clearly me, and it does look like Bacon in the shirt. And Rob Van Dam gets tweeted, are you excited to be in WWE 2K18? I've been training extra hard for the part. We sure you have, Rob. We sure you have. That's Tweet of the Week.
All right, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This was a squash match show. To basically sum it up, for the most part, there was a bunch of squash matches. Ember won a squash match. Velveteen Dream won a squash match. But when Ember won her squash match, she issued a challenge to Asuka. She's ready, finally ready for Asuka, and challenged her to a match at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 3.
F it up, girl. F it up.
Ember beat Lady Tapa, by the way, in like a minute.
Who looks really good.
She's lost some weight.
And we should note real quickly that Asuka is on her way to surpassing New Day. She actually beats their record in 2 days as the longest reigning champion, and then she's going to actually beat Rockin' Robin as well to, I think, become the longest reigning women's champion of all time.
In the post May Young, not May, Fabulous Moolah era.
Yeah, post Moolah era, Asuka's going to get that record. So go Asuka.
We learned that Thea Trinidad's name is Selena Vega.
I like it.
Velveteen Dream beat Cesar Bonani. William Regal made the match official for Asuka and Ember Moon. Drew McIntyre came to the ring, and Bixler said he's ready for Bobby Roode. He was the chosen one before when he arrived and said he expected everything to be handed out, but now he's no longer feeling entitled because he wasn't the hardest worker in the room. Now he's going to be the hardest worker in the room. When he looked at NXT, he saw a bunch of hard workers working together, except for one person. That person is Bobby Roode, who's full of entitlement. McIntyre had the crowd rise to their feet, and he told them, "We are NXT, not Bobby Roode." Good stuff.
It was good stuff. I just had a slight problem with it, because it's like, well, but Roode was out on the indies same as you. And Roode never got to really WWE. He never got a push like you did the first time. It's like, he didn't have to leave to figure out, oh, hey, I should have to be the hardest worker in the room. Roode's been the hardest worker in the room almost his entire career. And he's worked his butt off to get where he is. So it's like, that speech kind of doesn't hold weight with me. But then again, it's like, I know Roode's history. Some people may not. But it's like, Roode's more than earned his place where he is. Because I don't think he's cheated to win the title yet.
I don't think he's cheated, but he's like in the match with Roderick Strong, where he sort of bent the rules in his favor.
But he hasn't outright cheated.
No, he's always used the rules to his favor, never held tights or anything like that. But he's always worked the system.
Yeah.
The main event for the show was Hideo Itami, Cassius Ohno. Match was fine, it wasn't anything special. But the heel turn has finally happened. Goes for the GTS, Ohno slips out, hit him with the boot. Itami bailed off and then kicked Ohno in the crotch for the DQ. He took advantage of Ohno being down and just beat him down. Two GTSs in the middle of the ring. Fans were not happy with Itami as Ohno was down. He pulled him to ringside, hit another GTS, and left him laying. Good heel turn. Match was just okay.
Yeah, it was just alright.
But now Hideo's heel, where hopefully he succeeds.
Go Hideo, go!
So, it was a solid episode of NXT. It was a lot of squash. Like I said, it was the nice squash matches. Nothing.
It's a lot of setups.
We're getting closer to TakeOver, so this was one of the filler shows. Not as good as the last few weeks, but it was just there. We got directions.
We didn't mention my wife.
Okay, mention your wife.
She showed up. She actually, like, shows up in front of the Authors of Pain, and she starts yelling at the Authors of Pain, and they're all very confused. Because here's this adorable little Scottish fruitcake, like, yelling at them. And then all of a sudden, like, the two jobbers that AOP was supposed to face, Sanity took him out, right? And Nikki's all jumping and happy, and she's like clapping her hands, and it's so cute and adorable. I love Nikki Cross, in case you haven't figured that out. And yeah, for a second I actually wanted her to attack Paul Ellerling.
But you can't attack an old man like that.
But I wanted her to like jump him and beat him up or something. Because she could.
Save it for the pay-per-view.
For the pay-per-view.
Or the special, whatever you want to call it.
But yeah, so it was good to see her back on TV. Eric Young was still absent due to family circumstances when this was being filmed, so I would expect Eric is back at the next set of tapings.
Yeah, this was the second tapings he missed, if I'm...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, solid edition of NXT.
Solid edition of NXT, and I say a solid edition of The Rack. What do you think?
I think it was a little bit more of a solid edition.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Shawn Michaels. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Playing Triple H's music to end the show tonight.
Because happy birthday to Triple H.
They did a great video for him. Especially Shawn Michaels just standing there like...
They made me do this, damn it.
Why didn't you do this for me? With my cake.
Right?
Anyway, that'll do it for The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday at midnight is at CB Radio. We'll continue the greater than great debate for television characters. We'll finish it off this Saturday night. midnight-ish, see Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob West Liberty. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's another edition of WTR Sims. Twitch.tv/Rock Radio Show is the place to be. We did Attitude Era versus WTR. What we do this week? All I have to do is tune in, find out. We're on the road to Summerfest. Speaking of Summerfest, there's videos on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, please. Please do so. Subscribe. There's more exclusive content coming directly to the YouTube channel in the days and weeks ahead. Check it out, youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. Check out before there was Twitter. First episode now available at youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. Wait. 10 p.m. Wait. A discussion topic show. So what?
What?
Exactly. Tune in. We'll have a discussion next week on the show. How about that?
Oh, oh God, we have to come up with content. Oh God. We're doomed. We're so doomed.
We are so doomed. But it's The Rack Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all the social medias: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search Rack Radio Show at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com is Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBoot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, go pick up your copy of Pure Country, Pure Heart next week.
August 1st.
Blu-ray, DVD, and digital download. It's an awesome movie. Go check it out. But till next week, this has been The Rack. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.